Leviticus 26, verse 1 through 12, and it reads, "Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves. Do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe the Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its seasons, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruits, and the threshing will continue until the grapes harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat food, all the food you want, and live in the safety of your land. I will grant peace to the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove the wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. I will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor, and you're fruitful, and I will make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and you will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest." Well, somebody gonna catch that in a minute. "You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out the way to make room for the new. I will put you in my dwelling place, and among you I will abhor you. I will walk among you, you and be your God, and you my people." I want to talk from this thought this morning, God's partnership with us. God's partnership with us. We have started last week this series on partnership, and we've been discussing partnership and the importance of partnership and why we should partner. Last week we talked about partnering with friends and talked about how you together we can, carrying other people's weight, other people's issues and all that stuff. But the truth is that we don't really know how to partner with other people until we know how to partner with God. Mm-hmm. Partnering with other people always leaves room for a curve. You can be cool because you feel like when you fall short, it's understood because they fallen short. You know, I didn't come to your birthday party because you didn't come to my party. I didn't give you your gas money back because you owed me $5 from when we went to McDonald's 3 years ago. It's easy to fall when you're in partnership with each other. The hard thing is that it's hard to fall when you're in partnership with God, because partnership with God shifts your mindset, because you don't have the failings of God, because he's not a God that he's failed. Partnership, what is partnership? Partnership is a covenant agreement between two parties that binds them mutually and to some agree, mutually, to some agreeing upon obligations or benefits. Basically, what I'm saying is that if you partner with somebody, it means y'all got to agree about something. When you partner with somebody in business, I might not like you as a total person, but at least we come together with a mutually agreement that we want this business venture to work. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. I partnered with God to accept my salvation because I felt like the partnership would work. Mm-hmm. I didn't partner with God because I felt like, you know, I wouldn't have no more bad days. Because since I partnered with him, I still had bad days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I got that. But I'm saying I've had hell since salvation. Yes. Okay, y'all can make me stop right there for a minute. Yeah. Most of us fall out with God because we had bad expectations about the relationship before the relationship started. Mm-hmm. Okay. We put weight on God that he didn't tell us that he would do. Mm-hmm. You can't have sunshine and no rain and think you still gonna have green grass. Mm-hmm. No, it's the rain that makes the sunshine worth living in, because it's the rain that waters the grass that makes the grass worth looking at on the sunshiny day.
That's it.
All right.
And God works our life in that way, with our partnership with Him. He gives you a little rain, so when the sun come out, your life looked like it was worth something to be a part of. Because if you didn't have a issue, you know, when we were kids, we used to do stuff. These kids are complete opposites of us. They used to make us come in the house. No, you was in trouble. You had to come sit down.
Yeah.
That's what they told you. You get in here and sit down somewhere because you don't know how to play with everybody. Our kids, we got to make them go outside.
Yes.
Turn that off and y'all just go play something.
Yes.
We had to go buy toys for our kids, and we had imagination. We ain't had no sword.
Yes.
That stick that was straight enough.
Yes.
But the problem is that because we've sheltered our children so much, their immune systems haven't grown to the point that ours have. No, certain stuff they can't eat. We ain't know what no glucose and none of that stuff was nothing for us.
Amen.
You ain't know you was allergic to it. They don't act right when they eat it. They system. You don't know what was coming out that water hose beside the house. But your child come in the house and go into the filtered water that you prepared, drinking. Now, they used to be mad at us for leaving the faucet on the side of the house. Now, you mad because they leaving the open water bottles. If you going to open it, drink it. But there's no progression of immune system. So now they're getting hit with stuff that we were always exposed to, but it's taking them out. No, we was in the same sun they was in. It seemed hotter to you because you carrying more than you were then. But it's the same sun. It was an anomaly. It was national news when children would pass out on football fields. Yeah, it's an every week occurrence. It's just they don't go outside unless it's football season. They've been inside all summer. And then you're going to expose them to 4 hours worth of heat and think he's going to be fine. Partnership with God is like that. He exposes you to stuff to strengthen you, so when something hits you, it don't take you out.
Mm-hmm.
God is amazing like that. He's the kind of God that'll put you in a situation that you didn't want to deal with, and had that same situation 4 years later make you appreciate dealing with it. Because if you hadn't have dealt with that, this would have told.
Yes.
No, most of us ain't really like paying a bill until you've been evicted.
Amen.
No, when you go up there with your story straight and you got all of your stuff in your head, because I'm going to explain to them how this happened and that happened. Josh don't want to hear none of that. So did you pay the... No, I didn't pay. Do you have the money today? If I had the money, wouldn't be here, sir. 5 to 7 days to get out. Well, Judge, let me tell you about my job and how. See the clerk on your way out. Somebody got to pay these court fees. Now, I couldn't pay the rent.
Y'all ain't been talking.
But the next one you get, you be sitting there talking about, I ain't never getting put out again. No, until you slept on somebody else's couch and didn't have an end date to getting off it, or you appreciate having your own car with somebody put rules on theirs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, have my car back here, and make sure you put some gas in. Ain't no gas in it now. I don't need it. If you want to use my car, you're gonna put some gas in it, or leave it there. You don't need to go somewhere. Then when you get, that's how God do. You pray for patience, and he puts you in all of the situations that grow your patience.
Yes, Lord.
And you be sitting there talking about, I thought I was praying to be more patient, and now I want to go off on everybody. The waitress is worrying me. The manager keep bothering me. I just want to eat, ma'am. If you just, is everything okay? No, I ain't got nothing to eat.
Y'all don't want to talk.
The key to partnership is the promise for protection.
you partner with people because you expect them to take care of you. You expect them. Anybody besides me, you hooked up with somebody for some reason, and I ain't just talking relationship. I'm literally could be talking business. You ever hooked because they protected you. You had the idea, they had the money. Mm-hmm. Y'all worked with each other. Every partnership doesn't bring the same strengths. Every partner doesn't bring the same strengths into the partnership. You and God ain't got the same strengths. No, you and God ain't even working on the same level. Because you got questions about stuff he got going on for you. And you trying to explain to other people what you got going on and saying you still love God, but you got this going on. And how you love God and he's supposed to love you and you going through this. And you telling me it's going to be all right for me. But what about you? I don't know. I just know I love God. Mm-hmm. I don't. We God is so powerful because most of the time we learn more about him in trouble. Mm-hmm. No, most of us ain't learned about God on no sunshine and pretty day. No, you ain't know him as a healer until you were sick and you needed him to heal some on you. Heal you. Cheer you up. God will make a way out of no way. You ain't learned that in Sunday school. You learned the saying in Sunday school, but you ain't learned that he'll make a way. Because you ever been so broke you ain't know where your next check was coming? Mm. No, it seemed like next Friday was next year. Mm. I mean, I'm talking about you've had to learn that God will be a provider because you looked in your account and had to go back in your closet and see what still had tags on it. And you realize that they'll put the money back on your card after your check hit because you bought it with a card and not with cash. Mm. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I'm saying, but those are the times you learn who God really. Yeah. No, it's Wednesday. You got up, you packed the stuff. And they say 5 to 7 days. No, I need this like tomorrow. Y'all can't. Can you do cash? You learn something about. You learn something about God when you're going through some stuff. You're struggling. You fighting. You know, you learn more about God because you learn that as an adult, I've learned that there's a difference between sleep and rest.
Amen.
You had a whole 8 hours of sleep and ain't had a minute of rest. You just wake up as tired as you were when you went to sleep. Mind's still running. You ever went to sleep and woke up with an answer to a problem you've been thinking about all day and then trying to figure out later on that day why you still tired? You ain't got no rest. You was meditating on that thing all. You wake up just sweating like you've been working at. But you learn about God in trouble. Yes. You don't know God until you really been. Okay, let me explain something that most people don't want you to know. The Bible is filled with the exceptions for the rule. There was a lot of more blind people during the Bible days than blind Bartimaeus. But we only preach about him because he got healed. Understand that there's a lot of people around you that won't be the exception for the rule. And even if they are, they don't make the book. Everybody that gets it don't get it. Everybody that get, you be like, man, God is really blessing them. And they don't even go to church. They don't even know. They're just immune to. I was driving down the Beltway and a guy, I'm on a feeder and a guy is sitting on the corner of the feeder with his hazard lights on. And a cement truck tears into the back of this truck. In the back of a Nissan Altima. In the front of me. I'm on the phone having an argument. All of a sudden, the argument did not seem that important. Yeah. I'm talking about not a regular truck. I'm talking about the cement truck full of cement, little thing spinning. The truck was so heavy, it bounced off the car, hit a gate, and knocked a tree down. And I'm sitting here mad. I'm talking about fuming. I was having a good argument with somebody. I was letting them have it. I just stopped. Because all of a sudden, whatever we was arguing about, and I think when I seen the guy get out the Altima, fine.
My God. My God.
So I got to call you back. This ain't even. We'll talk next week or something. This ain't even. Now, what I was dealing with seemed like it was so important at the time. But I seen that man's partnership with God. Yes. I don't even know if he served God.
Yes.
I don't even know if he realized he in partnership. God's that amazing. God didn't wait for you to be saved before he sent Jesus. No, no, he did his part. He's good. The dude walked out of the car. Now, why did that semen truck run to that guy? I seen the guy sitting there. Why he didn't see the guy? I don't know. I can't tell you. All I can tell you is it was car pieces across the hole. Partnership. God, and we say, well, God, why would you let it happen? But I'm telling you, I'd rather it happen and be kept in it.
Yes. Yes.
Than be trying to figure out why it did happen and then let it happen and then not be there.
Yeah.
I'd rather be in a wreck with God than in a wreck without him.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Man, I've seen wrecks less than that and people not walk away.
Yes. My God.
I've seen wrecks less than that and the dude Tupperware box that was in the trunk rolled off the feeder onto the beltway. It was gone. He was sitting on the corner. Car ended up on the side of the road. I mean, in the grass. Yo, man. And the world would say, well, why would God let that happen to him? He was already sitting on the side of the road. His flashlights was already on. Why would God let a semen truck? But I'm saying, why would God let this man that might not have lived a perfect life live through a situation like that?
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
People ask questions. Why would God let these kids shoot up these schools? I asked the question. Why would God let the ones that live, live? Hmm. Let's thank him for it as good as it is. Because my partnership with him is a little bit different than what other people got going on. There's a partnership with God that's amazing, but it's like a good relationship. What did you do to get the relationship right? So three things we're going to talk about. Three things for this rule, for the partnership with God. What are the three things that God requires in this partnership to make the partnership work? It takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two. Get out of sight.
That's it.
What is it that makes it work? Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Three areas God gives us in this thing that makes this partnership manifest. The first thing he gives us is the requirements. Requirements. Every partnership ought to have some requirements. Come on, y'all. You've been in a bad relationship and you meet a new person? Now I got some requirements.
Amen.
No, I let the last one go without no requirements. I need. No, it was good what you find in yourself. No, I need you to be found. I'm not just going to take anything. He learned in the love. Well, call me back when you've learned.
Amen.
And you. Y'all don't want to talk.
Come on.
That's some requirements for partnership.
Yep.
You just can't jump in a partnership with anybody and don't know. How I got the idea, I think you got the money, but I ain't seen no bank accounts, no credit reports, no proof of nothing. And then it come time to write a check, and you trying to tell me I need to explain to you why you need the money. But that's what you here for, is the money. I thought that's what... If you there for protection at your house and somebody break in, and you out running the kids, it's just not going to work out well.
Well,
y'all don't want to talk. God takes three verses and breaks down his ground rules of the partnership. This is how this gonna work. If y'all wanna be with me, this is what you're gonna have to do. Because I've done my part. I've lived through you. I've loved you. I've taken care of you. It ain't all been sunshine, but the rain was worth it.
Yes.
Anybody besides me can say the rain was worth it? No, I didn't wanna go through it, but it was worth it. No, I cried and made mad, and I was, you know, I prayed and cried and cried and prayed. You know, I ain't cried my last tear because I got some more.
Yes.
But I just, you know, but it's been worth it so far.
Yes.
He says, do not make any idols. Do not set up any images. The whole first verse, y'all know what he's saying? Don't cheat on me.
Yep.
Don't go fall in love with somebody else and I'm still at the house. You got a whole, well, back in the day, fellas used to have a whole family. No, not a per- person. They had a whole family. Three blocks over. He's just a whole seven children over there. Whole nother. You can't. He said, don't cheat on me. Don't. Okay, let me explain something. The one time, all of the times that God is described in the Bible, they describe him as all kinds of stuff. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the prince of peace. He's this. He's that. They talk about all of that stuff. Y'all read that? Okay. All of those are cute. God describes himself one time. One time in all of Scripture, God describes himself. They described him as all of this stuff because they had to figure out a way to describe a God they couldn't describe. He's a lily of the valley. He's not really a flower. Mm-hmm. But they picked what they thought was the most beautiful thing in the world and they called him that. I got that. But what did God say about himself? Because, see, I sometimes stop and listen to what do people say about themselves. Not what other folks say about them. Because what they say is what they know. Mm-hmm. What you say is what you deem to be true today and will probably continue to be true till you see differently. What did God say about himself? God says, I'm a jealous God. Mm-hmm. One time he talked about himself, I'm jealous. Now, if the only time, and he gave you all these books, and the only time he stopped in all of these books was to say, for I am a jealous God. That's probably something you shouldn't be. That's probably something you shouldn't be ignoring. Mm-hmm. You know, I really love how you do this with me. Okay. Well, tell me about yourself. I'm a jealous God. That's it. That's all you. That should be enough. The first thing he talks about to create this great partnership with God. Don't go out here trying to recreate me. I hate to use relationships. We use relationships like the store Build-A-Bear. You go to one section, get a little of this. Get a little of this. Then you put it together, you're going to build a great relationship. Well, most people don't have all of the pieces. So the one that don't have a speaker, you go get him from somebody else. Now you're cheating. That's not going to work. Y'all don't want to talk to me this morning. God says if you, because they were mad because they couldn't see him. So they would go make something they could see and start worshiping it like it was God because they couldn't see him. He like, well, just because you can't see me don't mean I'm not here. Yeah, but we want a God we can see. So we're going to make this rock a God. Don't cheat on me. Then he says, verse 2, observe the Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. First he said, don't cheat on me. Then he said, show my stuff some respect. You can't just tab my stuff. What's that song? Bust the windows out your car. Ain't that a song? How we in love and you, I got to replace wonders. No, we got to sign a new lease after this. Somebody got to leave. Yeah. You ain't slashed one tie, you got all four. Why y'all don't want to talk with me? The requirements of a good relationship. How you gonna slash all four of my ties and then go to discount with me? To buy some more at our joint account. Requirements. Shouldn't have done what you did. But it just don't make sense to tap our stuff. Am I making sense? I'm talking about the requirements of a partnership. That there's some stuff that you have to deal with in your partnership that people come to church open, but most of the time, we send them out of church as hurt as they were when they came in because we came in with the mindset that church is the ER. Mm-hmm. The problem with the ER is all patients in the ER sit in the ER waiting room. Whether you high up or you just got the sniffles and ain't got no insurance, so you couldn't go to your doctor, so you went to the ER. The person missing their arm sits in the same room. Mm-hmm. It's the person with the sniffles. Mm-hmm. Person with an infectious cough sits in the same room as the person that whole left leg is missing. Just they got it in the bag in the car. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm saying it's the same That's how church is. Mm-hmm. But if you sitting there looking at them with your mask on,
I think everybody in here sick.
You in the waiting room too. I think, what is you here for if you're not here for? But that's how we do. We come acting like we got it together. And the problem is that the longer you sit in the waiting room, the more you should really feel bad, because you should be out of the waiting room by now. You got another issue? See, the problem is that church makes us self-righteous instead of self-reflective. Yes. We become self-righteous because I've been in this ER. I know everybody in this ER. You ought to know what's going to happen in this ER. I've been in this ER for 32 years. But no matter how long you've been in the ER, did you get some? Did they? Mm-hmm. Do you take your medicine? Do you? Mm-hmm. He says, respect my stuff. Well, then he says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands. So not only do you don't cheat on me, not only do you respect my stuff, but you got to show me some respect. Can you at least do what I ask you to do? Yeah, no, if you got more than one child, they throw your name around when they want to get it done. You know, can you help me clean up my room? No, I don't want to help you clean up your room. You messed up your room. Mama say that you got to help me clean up my room. Respect on my name. All right, y'all, don't talk. Okay. So first thing you got is the requirements. God takes three verses and talks about those requirements. But then the next thing you got is the reward. The reward of the partnership. Nobody wants to be in the partnership. Ain't no rewards. Ain't no paycheck. I'm putting money in. Ain't getting nothing out. Come on, y'all. You go to work. Why you go to work? For the vacation day. They call paid time off. Yeah. I found out the other day, they got what they call mental days, where your job don't pay you, but your insurance pays you, so you can take a day to rest your mind. You don't get that if you're unemployed. Yeah, but it's part of your mental health insurance. They tie it on to the second half of your stuff. You better ask somebody. I ain't worked in the job world in a long time, but my Obamacare came with it. Come on. Come on, somebody. Obamacare. He talks about. He takes three verses and talks about the requirements, but he takes from verse 4 to verse 11 to talk about the rewards. If you do them simple things, y'all listen to how simple what God asks for is. He says, if you respect my stuff, don't cheat on me, and show me some respect. I do a whole list of stuff for you. All you got to do is don't cheat on me. Respect my stuff and respect me. Partnership with God will stop you from doing stuff in the form of deliverance, but it's because of your partnership. You ought to walk different because your name has changed. Females, y'all change names when you get married. You become something. You represent that person. You're a representation of. Am I making sense? You know what I'm saying? Go to the courthouse, change your name. The papers. Little dude. So what do you want your new last name to be? Sign the little papers. Your name change. So you become a walking representation of something. Watch this. That you weren't born into, but you've accepted. And walking with God, you ought to walk different, not because you were born into something new, but because you've been accepted into something new. Mm-hmm. And because I understand this partnership, now I have to do some stuff that I don't normally would do. But because I love God, I'm going to let you make it. And what deliverance really looks like, and we've deemed it to be something that God never said it was. What God really calls deliverance is not you, the lack of sin, it's the slowing of sin. You're not perfect. You're being perfected. Mm-hmm. Let me free some of y'all, because some of y'all have been delivered and don't know it. Sometimes it means you don't do it as much as you used to. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, you still cuss. You just don't cuss. No, because let me tell you how you know you're being delivered. Because you catch yourself and be like,
Talk about it, Pastor.
I would have got you. Yeah. No, go ahead. Keep Talk talking. I'm fine. Nah, just go on with your little friends, because I'm. You just start padding stuff, just, you know, I was an extremist in the world. I was extremist. I was always extreme. I've just always been my personality. I've always been an extreme. I was either real happy, I was just flip out mad. Just, I'd tear some stuff up. You know. Now I got some filters in my life because I got a relationship with God. You can't just flip over tables in the restaurant. No, you can't just tell the waitress everything you feel about the service. Just don't tip her high. You can't ruin this young child's day in life. You know, I've been good. God gave me the gift of gab. I could tear you down. Just you. And once I started, they just keep coming. The devil never lets you have a lack of. What comes natural, but. You know. But what deliverance is, it literally means that you start catching yourself before you. No, you don't. We feel like, you know, I feel like I would be better if I didn't desire this. That's natural to desire. You can't just be. God don't want you to be perfect. When you're perfect, you're ready to go. Yes. You no. It's okay. The word is called sanctification. That you've been sanctified, you've been set apart. Well, we are sanctified. We were brought up in an area that they were. They taught us incorrectly. They taught us that the sanctified church was church that shouted and did all that. It's not necessarily the proper definition. Sanctified means to be set apart. It means that we are not like the common people. We are saved. We are saved, so we've been sanctified. We've entered sanctification. We're trying to be sanctified. But the difference between sanctified, we've mixed up the two to say that we went from trying to be sanctified to being glorified. Glorified is on the other side. That means that you've already got it together. You ain't trying to do nothing different. You ain't no more mess up. Ain't nobody in heaven trying to make sure they don't cuss. That's you. Well, you ain't got it right. Everything that catch your eye, you can't. Dr. Maude Ferguson, Lord rest her soul, passed earlier this year, told me something. She said, you know, she was 75, I think, when she told me this. Dr. Ferguson said, you know, it's not that you don't look at the menu. You just realize that the price is too high.
Amen.
And I was like, you sure all right. That menu be looking good sometimes. But the price tag on it. Anybody been to a restaurant that ain't even got prices on it? They just put market. You be sitting there talking about, I'm not in the market for it. Yeah. It's too high. That's what sin is. You know, you never know the real price of sin. Mm-hmm. No, because once you slip, it's easy to keep. Mm-hmm. You know, you miss one Sunday, then next thing, you know, they ain't going to miss me. No, we miss you. Ain't nobody worried about me. That's what we are. Okay, y'all don't talk. Relation. Then you have the rewards. The reward. What are the rewards? Jesus gives us a couple of them. In verse 4 and 5, he promises you plenty. In verse 6, he promises you peace. In verse 6, he offers you protection. Verse 7, he offers you power. He says, see, and the difference is that in verse 6, he says that I'm going to keep them away from you. I'm going to keep, ain't no sword going to come into your country. But then in verse 7, he says, hey, but when they try to do something, you're going to have to go out there and get them. But you ain't going to die. Ain't no dying finna happen. But why you got power? Well, because you did what I needed you to do to keep the requirement. Verse 9, he offers prosperity. That's a whole different thing. Understand prosperity is different than wealth, and prosperity is different than having a couple of dollars. You can be prosperous and not have a penny. Prosperous means that I know somebody that got it. Wealth is more money than you can spend. Most of us won't inherit that. Unless y'all got something I don't got, and y'all need to tell me about it because I got some bills we need to take care of.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If it's some millionaires and billionaires in the room, y'all wave your hands. Pastors have a meeting after church before the next meeting. Hallelujah. This vision might be coming to pass real quick. But if y'all like me, and you know what's in your account because you check it sometimes before you swipe your card.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I'm talking about be at the grocery store trying to figure out which card you're going to use because there's enough on this one and I don't even need them cans today. Don't nobody need to be drinking, so put them sodas back.
Yeah.
You adding them up in your head at the cash register.
You don't need this soda.
He offers you prosperity, but then in verse 10, he offers you provision. He says, hey, that verse 10 messed me up, y'all. I could have preached just that verse 10. He said, when you get to your next year, you're still going to be eating on your last year.
Yes.
Most of us can't make it check to check.
Yes.
He said, you're going to still be living off your last year check and getting your this year check and putting it in a savings account. You know, I have friends that have money. God has blessed me with that. I got a couple of friends. I mean, I'm talking about real money, y'all. I ain't talking about like a couple dollar money. I'm talking about that kind of money you scared to ask them for money because I don't want them to look at me like I ain't part of them kind of money. I'm talking about that kind of money they tell me about where they going. I make sure I'm not invited because I can't afford the valet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I go to the opening parties because the food's free, but I ain't going back there. People like, you been a, yes! I don't know nothing about the menu. They had a buffet when I went. I didn't.
Talk about it.
I didn't. I got a friend of mine, he's working at a job, and he told me that he got three checks coming in. Three checks. One job. Jealousy has never been an issue of mine. Never been. Too arrogant to be jealous. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, my foot almost slipped. I said, well, wait a minute. How we get three checks? He explained to me they gave him a moving check. You know, they moved him from home. He gave him a check to move. Then he got hazard pay because the place he was in was a disruptive area. So, okay, I can see that. Then he got what they call per diem. Per diem is them paying you to live where you living at. That's what my check do. No, they want me to take my per diem out of my regular check.
Yeah, yeah.
You got an extra check?
Yeah, yeah.
But then he got his regular check. I said, this ain't foul. We were sitting in my car. I was riding down the road, and I asked, man, you know, I've always said this, but you're a walking example of it. Now, what you talking about? I said, I always tell the church, God ain't fair, but he's just. And this ain't fair. You know, anytime I'd moved, I didn't pay for it out of my pocket. Had to borrow some friends, cars, and they paid you. They paid him to furnish. I'm trying to talk about prosperity.
Come on.
Yeah.
To furnish his house where he moved to. What? You mean they gave you a check to move and to furnish the house that they finna pay for you to live in? And they gonna pay you? And they paying you to stay from home? Sir. One question, is they hiring? Amen. I'm saying,
amen.
This could have been a Zoom worship service. I'm just saying we could have did this on.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want to talk about this. I'm literally trying to explain that. But seeing him today and what seeing him a year ago looked like. Because a year ago, I helped him find a job. He was happy for the job he had. That was paying him a lot less than what he's making today. And he was broke and pulling money out of his savings account and trying to live from check to check and trying to explain to his wife why she might have to go back to work after retiring. That was a year ago. Today his account don't look like. No, a year ago, we were trying to talk about him might have to return his truck because he had a note on a truck that was higher than what he could afford at the new job than the one he had at the last job. He might have to take it back and figure something else out. Now he's talking about buying a trike. Am I making sense, y'all?
Come on.
That's life moves fast. Now understand that he had a savings account to pull from. That's what prosperity is when you get to your last as something else to just. God gives you rewards. The third thing he gives you in his partnership, he gives you requirements, rewards. The last thing he gives you, and I'm through. I haven't been up here too long. He gives you relationship. Relationship. He says in verse 12, I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Everything from verse 4 to verse 11 is worth giving up for verse 12. I give up all of that stuff if you just walk with me.
Yes, sir.
No, because I've had people walk out. So as long as you walking with, I'm really good, God.
Yes.
Anybody besides me been in that situation? You know, God, I just want you. Just you. You know, I'm through. I'm going to give you this story and I'm through. I was in Atlanta and I was at an amusement park. I was preaching for a friend of mine for his youth day a couple of years ago. And I was at Stone Mountain. Six Flags Stone Mountain, where they do the little laser show up against the mountain. It's really nice. Y'all should go. And we were in the line. I don't like roller coasters, not because I'm a fearful person of roller coasters, because if they all stay low, I'm good. It's the heights that get me.
Amen.
You know, just going up. I don't like I can do everything but the straight drops. You can spin me during the drop, and I'm fine. But if I'm looking down, and I start lifting off the seat, help Jesus. I look calm, but on the inside, it's not working out. Just ready to go to bed now. I'm tired. I was getting ready to get on the ride, and a guy and his little son was in the thing in the front of me, and they were talking. I heard them talking. I was talking to my people. And I got in the line. I'm nosy by nature, so I was just listening to what they were talking about. And the little boy didn't want to get. Little boy wanted to get on the ride, but he didn't want to get on the ride. Y'all know how kids do. So every time the line moved forward, little boy got nervous. But as soon as it stopped, he was fine and started talking about something else. Daddy, are you sure you want to get on the ride? Yeah, we're going to get up. We're going to do it. You can. Boys, so they get on the ride and get in the seats in front of me. And the dad and the little boy grabs the dad's hand and set it on his leg. And I'm looking like, what is happening? The dad, nothing but God made the dad ask, because I was so wondering, why did you move my hand, son? He said, Dad, it's tunnels on this. I Googled it. It's tunnels on this ride. And I'm not going to always be able to see you. But as long as your hand is on me, I know it's going to be all right.
Yes.
Or somebody missed it.
Yeah.
So sometimes with God, it might be a scary situation, but long as his hand is on you, you know it's going to be, you ain't got to figure it out, you ain't trying to understand it. God, just keep your hand on me, because I can deal with the requirements and the rewards, but just don't take your hand off me.
Yes,
absolutely.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Thank you, God.
God, we love you. We honor you, God. We adore you. Presence, God, we thank you for the way that you made the doors.